From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listeners, welcome back to me, Ahmad Faisal, in English program. Hopefully, you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that can not only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first headlines. The Indonesian economy still has the opportunity to return to a positive trend. World Food Program to send 50,000 tons of wheat flour to Beirut. Now the news in details. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said that the pace of the domestic economy is still very likely to return to a positive trend in the third quarter of 2020 by accelerating the absorptions of government spending to increase people's purchasing power and consumption. President Joko Widodo, when visiting the coordination post for handling COVID-19 of West Java in Bandung on Tuesday, reminded the ranks of ministries or agencies, as well as local governments, to increase budget absorptions. President Joko Widodo added that currently the regional government budget that settles in the banking reaches 170 trillion rupiah nationally. The amount of budget that has not been absorbed is too large, even though the community needs stimulus from the government to immediately restore economic activity during the COVID-19 pandemic. This means that the use of the budget needs to be accelerated, especially in the third quarter of July, August, September, in order Indonesia does not experience economic recession. The Indonesian Embassy to the UK in London continues to organize promotional activities related to investment opportunities in the country. Unlike before, during the pandemic, promotional activities are carried out intensively through virtual media. The Chargé d'Affaires of the Indonesian Embassy in London, Adam M. Tugio, said that his party keeps going to convince investors and potential investors in the UK related to Indonesia's economic situation and politics currently. Adam M. Tugio, as reported by Media Indonesia on Tuesday, said that the Indonesian Embassy in London also keeps maintaining good communication with business actors and consistently hold communication via email or face-to-face. Online or virtual activities have also become the main feature of investment promotion activities, which are carried out by the Indonesian Embassy with the Indonesian Investment Promotion Center, IIPC, in London during the COVID-19 pandemic. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. The United Nations has said 50,000 tons of wheat flour will be sent to Beirut to stabilize Lebanon's wheat supply. A report by the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, OCHA, released on Tuesday said the World Food Program would be sending 50,000 tons of wheat flour to the Lebanese capital in the aftermath of the deadly explosion in the port city. At least 171 people were killed and more than 6,000 others injured in the explosion believed to have been caused by a fire that ignited a 2,750-ton stockpile of highly volatile ammonium nitrate. The material had been stored at the port since 2013 with few safeguards despite numerous warnings of the dangers. Reeling from years-long political and economic crisis, Lebanese citizens have taken to the streets over the disaster, with many calling for heads to roll and for major changes. Prime Minister Hassan Diab announced the resignations of his government late on Monday, spelling even deeper turmoil ahead. Russia has become the first country in the world to register a vaccine against COVID-19, President Vladimir Putin announced on Tuesday during a government meeting. Nuka Kusumawati has the details. Russia's President Vladimir Putin said that the world has its first vaccine against the coronavirus. The president announced on a meeting with Russian government members via video conference that the vaccine has been registered and his daughter is among those who have been vaccinated. The move comes before the country plans to start mass vaccination in October. As far as I know, today in the morning, the first vaccine against the new coronavirus infection was registered. In this respect, I would like to ask Health Minister Mikhail Albertovich Murashko to inform us more details. Although I know it worked effectively, formed stable immunity, and I repeat, it has gone through all necessary checks. As quoted from SputnikNews.com, Russia's first vaccine against the coronavirus was jointly developed by the Gamaleya Research Institute and Defense Ministry. Clinical trials kicked off on June 18 and included 38 volunteers, including President Putin's daughter. All of the participants developed immunity. The first group was discharged on July 15, the second group on July 20. It has a more specific effect. It forms stable antibody and cell-mediated immune response. I also know it very well because one of my daughters was subject to this vaccine. I think it means that she took part of this experiment. The vaccine was named Sputnik V in reference to the 1957 launch of the Soviet satellite, which opened space to exploration by humans. The vaccine is expected to go into civilian circulations on January 1, 2021, according to the registration certificate. The vaccine developers have prepared documents for further clinical trials involving several thousand peoples. For emergency monitoring of the health status of those vaccinated and to control effectiveness and safety, the Russia Healthcare Ministry is developing a single digital system that make it possible to monitor the safety and quality of the medication at all stages of the life cycle. This includes a registry of the vaccinated patients. New Zealand announced its first locally transmitted coronavirus infection more than 100 days on Tuesday and issued a stay-at-home lockdown order for the country's largest city. After receiving global praise for its success containing the virus, Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern said 4 cases had been detected in a single family in Auckland from an unknown source. Until Tuesday, the World Health Organization had hailed the country as an example to others for having successfully eliminated community transmission. Auckland would be locked down for at least 3 days from Wednesday, and some social distancing restriction will be reintroduced in the rest of the country. Mauritians volunteers fished dead eels from oily waters on Tuesday as they tried to clean up damage to the Indian Ocean island's most pristine beaches after a Japanese bulk carrier leaked an estimated 1,000 tons of oil. The ship MV Wakashio, owned by Nagashiki Shipping and operated by Mitsui OSK Lines Ltd., struck a coral reef on Mauritius' southeast coast on July 25th and began leaking oil last week, raising fears of a major ecological crisis. Activists told Reuters that dead eels were floating in the water and dead starfish washed in a sticky black liquid. Crabs and seabirds are also dying. The MV Wakashio is still holding some 2,000 tons of oil, and it is expected to eventually break up, Prime Minister Pravin Jugnauth said, warning that the countries must brace for the worst. Tourism is a key part of the Mauritius economy, and the government, which has declared a state of emergency due to the spill, is working with former colonial ruler France to try to remove the oil. Singapore began destroying 9 tons of seized ivory Tuesday, the largest such actions globally in recent years, including contraband tusks that came from more than 300 African elephants. The destruction by an industrial rock crushers was held on the eve of World Elephant Day and aims to prevent the items from re-entering the market and disrupt the global supply chain of illegally traded ivory, Singapore's National Parks Board said. A spokeswoman for the board told AFP it would take 3 to 5 days for all of the ivory to be crushed, after which the fragments will be incinerated. The board said in a statement that this ivory crushing event, the largest globally in recent years, demonstrates Singapore's strong determination and commitment to combat the illegal trade in wildlife. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitled Russia Discovers Anti-Corona Vaccine. When a number of countries are trying to find an anti-coronavirus vaccine and carrying out trials, Russia is taking a step farther. The efforts to find an anti-COVID-19 vaccine at least sheds light on the view that the virus that causes the global pandemic cannot be defeated. The success of Russia was announced directly by President Vladimir Putin in Moscow on Tuesday, August 11, local time. Accompanied by members of his cabinet, Putin stated that his government had approved the use of the anti-coronavirus vaccine. Vladimir Putin claims that Russia has become the first country in the world to find and successfully test the vaccine and will soon use it. It is said that the coronavirus vaccine was discovered by the Gamaleya Institute. Report says the Gamaleya Institute in Russia has been conducting clinical trials of the vaccine on humans for 2 months. With this success, the Russian government will soon produce the vaccine on a large scale. In fact, next year, the mass productions of vaccine will reach millions of doses per month. Vladimir Putin is proud to say that the success of creating the vaccine shows the progress and scientific prowess of his country. Russia's recognition of this success predates China, which was the first country to contract COVID-19. Like Russia, China is also trying hard to find an anti-corona vaccine. The United States has also done the same. What is different between Russia and the United States is that the domestic situation in Russia is more conducive, with the development rate of the population affected by COVID-19 much lower. The European Union community, about a week ago, had just made a commitment to raise funds to overcome the economic problems caused by the COVID-19 pandemic and encourage scientific research to find the anti-coronavirus vaccine. Anyway, Russia's success is good news for countries that are still struggling to overcome the COVID-19 pandemic. If the WHO then declared that the coronavirus vaccine that Russia's discovered could be used globally, countries that were affected by the COVID-19 pandemic will think of getting the Russian vaccine and provide the budget to buy it. Or they are motivated to be able to find a vaccine in another form. However, with the discovery of this coronavirus vaccine, Russia has the right to claim to be the first country to find and use the vaccine, ahead of other countries including China, the United States, the European Union, and others. Russia under Vladimir Putin has claimed that the country has scientific ability in finding an anti-COVID-19 vaccine that has undermined human life, especially in the economic sector. There was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Welcome back to our regular Today in History. We start from a history which occurred on August 12th, 1902, was Muhammad Hatta's birthday. Muhammad Hatta was an Indonesian prominent figure, statesman, economist, and also the first vice president of Indonesia. He and Sukarno played an important role in gaining independence of the Indonesian nation from the Dutch colonialism. Sukarno and Muhammad Hatta then proclaimed Indonesian independence on August 17, 1945. Muhammad Hatta also served as Prime Minister in the Hatta I, Hatta II cabinet and RIS, or the United Indonesia Republic. Hatta is also known as the father of Indonesian cooperatives. The International Airport in Tangerang, Banten, using the name of Soekarno-Hatta Airport as a tribute to their services. The name Muhammad Hatta was also immortalized in the Netherlands as the name of a street in the Zuiderpolder residential area with the name of Muhammad Hatta Straat. Next turn, Japan Airlines Flight 123 crashed at Mount Takamagahara, Japan. Japan Airlines Flight 123, a Boeing 747-146SR, crashed on Mount Takamagahara in Gunma Prefecture, Japan, 100 km from Tokyo, on August 12, 1985. This single plane crash was the worst in aviation history, with all 15 crew members and 505 of the 500 passengers dead, with a total of 520 people died. Four passengers survived, and one of the survivors was a Japan Airlines flight attendant who was on leave. Japan Airline 123 took off from Haneda Airport at 6:12 p.m. local time. As the aircraft entered cruising altitude over Sagami Bay, the rear stern baffle ruptured and produced a decompression explosion which tore the tail of the plane. This detachment of the tail damaged the entire hydraulic system of the plane, so that the plane then hovered uncontrollably for about 30 minutes before crashing into a mountain. We end with a history on August 12, 2000. The World Youth Day was firstly celebrated. The commemoration of International Youth Day was established by the United Nations. This was aimed at giving attention to a series of cultural and legal issues that happened surrounding young people. World Youth Day was firstly celebrated on 12 of August 2000 and was initiated by the United Nations in 1999 by adopting Resolution 54/120. On the anniversary of World Youth Day, concerts, workshops, cultural events, and gatherings involving national and local government officials and youth organizations take place around the world. Listener, that was Today in History.
Aku menunggu cinta. Sehari tak jumpa, rasanya setahun. Saat kau tak sapa, hatiku terbang. aku menunggu cinta. Kamu, namun adakah kau ingin aku? Seperti berbalas, namun terkadang makin enggak jelas. Aku ingin kamu, namun adakah kau ingin aku? Seperti berbalas, namun terkadang makin enggak jelas. Demi Tuhan aku menunggu. Aku menunggu cinta.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today, entitling Government Expand Microcredit Program Receiver Target to Accelerate Economic Recovery. Indonesian government expanded the target receiver of microcredit KUR from micro, small and medium enterprises to accelerate national economic recovery. That was stated by Coordinating Minister for Economy Erlangga Hartarto in a press statement in Yogyakarta on Saturday. Erlangga Hartarto said pandemic impact handling cannot be done in the health sector only, but also the economy. The minister added the government will still maintain a balance between people's health and livelihood. One of them was keeping MSMEs operational, which turnover was decreasing in recent months because of COVID-19. Currently, the government gave micro-loan policy relaxation, namely the principal installment postponement for 6 months, as well as temporary postponement of administration document completeness until the end of the pandemic. Government also had given additional interest subsidy around 6% for 3 months and another 3% for the next 3 months. With that additional interest subsidy, then in the first 3 months of the pandemic, the microloan interest rate becomes 0%. Besides that, in a bid to expand microloan distribution, the government has also delayed its target for the production sector in 2020, which previously was set around 60%. The production sector target set postponement will apply until 2021 or any time depending on the economy condition. This will cause there to be no more microloan distribution limitation for the trade sector. Minister Erlangga Hartarto referred to a survey result which showed that the easiest sector for MSMEs to penetrate during a pandemic is trade. Therefore, with trade sector limit revocation, MSME's economic recovery is expected to be quicker. The policy implementation among many was in form of microloan distribution for MSMEs of Muhammadiyah Youth Central Port and inauguration of Muhammadiyah Youth Warga Mukios in Kota Gede, Yogyakarta on Saturday, which was handed over directly by Minister Erlangga Hartarto. It aimed to strengthen capitalization through microloan funding. Microloan distribution optimizations to MSMEs from all people will accelerate national economic recovery. The minister said government is very open to data from youth who wants to be social entrepreneur. He reminded that restoring Indonesian economy is everyone's responsibility, including the youth. With the post-COVID-19 moment, Indonesia must prepare itself to be safe and productive, as well as ready to transform and become one of the first countries to exit the pandemic. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
puisi ini adalah yang aku punya. Mungkin akan kau lupakan atau untuk dikenang. Tulisan dariku ini mencoba
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song, it is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I'm going to let you know about Talago Biru, which is located in Jambi. Stay tuned. Listener, Jambi has many beautiful natural tourism attractions. Some of them that Jambi can offer are mountains, lakes, waterfalls, hot springs, caves, geoparks, or various modern tourism destinations which are being developed. One of them is a lake, Telago Biru, at Tanjung Alam Village, Jangkat District, Merangin Regency, Jambi Province. This lake is located at an altitude of 2,033 meters above sea level and is included in the production forest area which directly shares a border with Kerinci Sablat National Park. Tourists who come here can witness the beauty of nature. It has clear blue waters that allow you to see the bottom of the lake. Shady trees surrounding the lake make the air fresh. There is a fallen tree in the middle of Telago Biru, which has become a bridge to a hut that was built by the local people to take rest. The fallen tree is interesting to take a picture, and the spot is very Instagrammable. According to the local people, the lake was discovered accidentally by a Tanjung Alam villager who was hunting for birds surrounding the forest. The hunter told the lake to other villagers. Then the lake was named Telago Biru by Merangin Regent in 2016. From Jambi, you can use a motorcycle or car to Merangin Regency. From downtown of Merangin Regency, Bangko, you should take a trip to Tanjung Alam Village, Sungai Tenang District. Because the location of Telago Biru is around Mount Masurai, you could also take a walk around 1 until 2 hours. It is advised to do this only if you have reasonable physical stamina. You are also suggested to bring enough food. The trip is more enjoyable if you come here along with your friends. From Tanjung Alam Jangkat Village, it takes around 7 hours on foot, but if you ride a motorcycle, it only takes 3 hours. Recently, Telago Biru has been viral on social media. The local people often call it Telago Hijau because its water has greenish-blue colors. Another beautiful scenery is green mud on the bottom of the lake. It's very beautiful when seen with the very unique watercolor. The location of the lake is hidden in the forest, so that not many people know its existence. If you want to refresh and re-energize yourself, this lake is the right choice. That was our segment of Indonesian Wonder featuring Telago Biru in Jambi. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Bye-bye.
terbaik untuk kita.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio. We introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language and Book Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Bagaimana memainkannya in English, how to play it. Listen to this conversation about bagaimana memainkannya in English, how to play it. Kevin asks Siti how to play the gamelan music.
Bagaimana cara memainkannya?
Cara memainkannya yaitu dengan dipukul-pukul dengan alat pemukul.
I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I will say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Bagaimana memainkannya, which means how to play it. Cara memainkannya yaitu dipukul-pukul, which means the way to play it is by beating. Alat pemukul, which means beating tool. Listener, to ask about how to use an object, you can use expressions, for examples, bagaimana cara memainkan drum, in English, how to play the drum. To respond the question or expression, you can answer in accordance with the way to use the tools. For example, cara memainkan drum, yaitu dengan dipukul-pukul dengan alat pemukul. In English, the way to play the drum is by beating with the drumsticks. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Bagaimana cara memainkannya?
Cara memainkannya yaitu dengan dipukul-pukul dengan alat pemukul.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition will be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Tiap kaki melangkah di hadapmu dinda, adakah sedikit getar hati terasa saat senyum terlukis di wajahmu cinta? Adakah wajahku hadir dalam semesta meski ku bukan siapa-siapa, namun ingin hati sekedar hadir menyapa cinta.
memastikan kau terjaga dalam lembayung jingga. Berharap nyawaku ada selintas di dalam senjamu. Oh, 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 adinda, di mata ini kau terindah. Meskipun belum tentu kau tahu aku ada, mungkin kau hanya memandang aku sebelah. Tapi aku tak peduli itu, ku tahu ku jauh dari nomor satu. Diriku bukan siapa-siapa, namun ingin hati sekedar hadir menyapa. Cinta, biarkanlah suka yang kini ku rasa tetap jadi sebuah alam yang masih rahasia. Namun jangan sia-sia selintas di dalam senjamu. Biarlah ku pendam rasa sendiri.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. I would like to present you a song from Bali entitled Ratu Anom. The song Ratu Anom has very familiar for Balinese people. The song was composed by I Gusti Ngurah Mada Agung, King of Badung VI. If it is translated simply, the song Ratu Anom tells a story of Ratu Anom who wakes up in a hurry when she heard a sound of flute in the yard. Ratu Anom is curious who is playing the flute. It turns out that the person is I Gusti Ngurah Alit Jambe Pemecutan. But in another version, a figure at Puri Agung Denpasar, anak Agung Ngurah Wirabima Wakrama, opined that the song Ratu Anom has a deeper meaning. Ratu Anom, which is meant as the song, is the local youth and people in the Badung Kingdom. They are asked to immediately prepare to build a country, while the sound of flute describes the works of I Gusti Ngurah Mada Agung, who also called I Gusti Ngurah Alit Jambe Pemecutan. Well, listener, here is the song Ratu Anom, sung by Puspa Dewi. Enjoy the song.
Ratu
Voice of Indonesia.
Togetherness in English Language Program Broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at voindonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.